Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn together to Jonah chapter 4. Jonah chapter 4. An angry prophet and a compassionate God. We've been following Jonah here and the book that is named for him. He's had an interesting journey to Nineveh. He finally makes it. He is vomited up on the shore of on dry ground, and after spending those 3 days in the belly of a fish, he and God had a come to Jesus meeting about what needed to happen in his life. Jonah stood there on the beach, experienced a second chance call from God, and he goes to Nineveh and begins to walk across that great city. And in those 3 days that he walks across that great city, he declares the message that in 40 days they will be destroyed. That's all he said. He didn't try to help them to know how to repent. He didn't try to give them some other kinds of advice. He just simply said that straightforward, simple message that they would be destroyed in 40 days. Hearing this, they started to understand that God was speaking to them, and they began to repent there in Nineveh. These people who were so brutal in how they treated others, and they were so feared around the world, and they were so cruel when they moved against other nations. And yet here in Nineveh, those 120,000 people heard this from Jonah, and they responded to God, and they repented. And they repented from Main Street to the throne. Even the king got up and took his royal robes off and declared a fast and sat in sackcloth and ashes. The whole people began to come before God in repentance in sackcloth. And they asked God to relent, and God did. One of the things we see in Jonah is that God's predisposition is always to show mercy and grace, not punishment. If we will give him the opportunity to show us mercy and grace and repent of what we're doing, he will always meet us there. The people in Nineveh heard the message. The scripture says that they believed. They believed what Jonah was saying. In fact, they had no guarantee that as they repented and put on sackcloth and sat in ashes, they had no guarantee that God would relent, that God would remove his punishment. But their attitude was just maybe God will see. Maybe God will see their repentance. Maybe God will relent. There was a trust and a surrender and a repentance in their voice. And God heard it. Scripture says that God saw it. And God relented. Now you would think that Jonah, the prophet, after all he had done this in Israel, he had walked the dusty roads of Israel. He had gone through Samaria. He had walked all over that place, calling the people of Israel to repentance, and they would hear it, and maybe sometimes they would repent, but many of the times the repentance would not be very deep or very long, and they mostly just ignored what Jonah was saying. And here, Jonah finally, as he's walking across this city of Nineveh, a city that for all practical purposes, you wouldn't expect would repent, would respond to any kind of message from God. And yet they do, and God does a mighty work in Nineveh. You would think that Jonah would send for the newspaper reporters from Samaria and from the 10 tribes of Israel to come and see what's going on in Nineveh, see what great work God has done through me. But that's not what happened. Jonah is displeased with what happened. He is angry at God. He is mad that God has relented from punishing these Ninevites. Now I want you to notice, Jonah was obedient. He took advantage of the second chance. He went to Nineveh. He was obedient. He spoke the message. And then when God did the work that God intended to do all along, And the work was to relent from punishing these people who Jonah hated and had no burden for. Jonah wanted to see them experience the backhand of God. He wanted to see them experience the brutalness that they had dished out to everybody else. But God relented when they repented. And Jonah was mad. You ever get mad at God? You see, this was brewing in Jonah's heart ever since chapter 1. When God called him to go to Nineveh and he decided to go the opposite direction to Tarsus. And he ran from God and jumped a ship there in Joppa and ran into a storm. Before long, the crew of that ship and the ship itself was in danger of sinking and being destroyed. And they finally decided that since Jonah was the one who God was probably causing all this to happen for, that they needed to just throw him into the ocean and get rid of him and everything would be okay. And in fact, when they threw Jonah into the ocean, the seas calmed. But God appointed a fish, a great fish, to come and swallow Jonah. Jonah ended up in the belly of the fish, and God preserved his life that way. You see, what Jonah was experiencing, what we see Jonah's reaction to the revival in Nineveh, was already evident in his life. He didn't really want to obey God to begin with, and God had to continue to pursue him and continue to draw him until finally, dressed in the vomit of a great fish, he stands on the beach and God says, "Will you go to Nineveh now?" And he did. You see, I don't think Jonah was really that willing to go anyway, but he really had run out of choices. It was either Nineveh or another fish, and so he decided to go. Notice that even when he got there, his message was just as the bare minimum as he could get out. You know, he didn't even invite the Ninevites to repent. He just wanted to know that they were doomed. Have you ever met any preachers like that? Who all they could do is just tell you how doomed you are? We in Texas, we used to call those preachers, their sermons, when they'd preach them, they would skin everybody's head. And that's why I don't have much hair up here. It's because I heard a lot of sermons like that. They were just angry. And they wanted you to know that God was angry. And, you know, they would just tell you about all the doom and the gloom. There is doom and gloom if you're not following the Lord. We need to hear that. We need to hear it in love as well. But Jonah was walking around town. Everybody that came in contact with him, he would be sure to tell them, "Hey, you're doomed. 40 days, your time's up. No hope. No hope." And then the people repent. And notice how Jonah responds. It's a shocking response. He responds in anger. He responds by getting mad. In fact, he comes before God and he says, "God, you might as well just take my life. Just kill me right now." You would think he would stand up and say, "Oh God, look what you've done. Aren't we grateful that you've worked in these people's lives?" No, he was angry because these people, he thought, didn't deserve God's grace. Didn't deserve his mercy. He didn't want to see them repent. He really didn't want them to know that God was a God who would accept their repentance. He really didn't want them to know that God was a merciful God. He just wanted them to know they were doomed, and he wanted them to just accept the fate and accept what God had for them. And yet, God threw him a curveball, and he swung and missed. God relented. In fact, it's a little comical the way he talks to God. Have you ever talked to God like Jonah talked to him? "I knew this would happen. This is why I didn't want to come here in the first place." Yeah, everybody knows how compassionate you are. Everybody knows that you're a loving God. Everybody knows that you don't have enough gumption to dish it out to them. You're always looking for the repentance. Just take my life. I'm sick of living. That's where Jonah was. What was going on in Jonah's life for him to respond like that? He was unhappy. He just wasn't angry at this, but I think he's been angry a long time. We're really good, you know, sometimes we're angry at God, but we keep it stuffed down. Because those of us who are Christians, especially us as pastors, we don't want anybody to know that we're angry because we want everybody to think we're spiritual. You know, if you see any anger coming out of me, you'll think I'm not as spiritual as I need to be. So I keep all the anger I have about God doing some things that I didn't think he should do really deep down in the inner recesses of my mind. Some of you are smiling and laughing and going, yeah, I'm there, I did that. That's Jonah. Question this morning is it you? Is it you? Jonah was doing a little bit of revisionist history. It wasn't that Jonah didn't go to Nineveh because of who God was. He blamed it. I knew you were gracious. I knew you were compassionate. I knew you were this kind of God. That's why I didn't want to go and preach this message. I knew you'd do something like this. No, it wasn't because of who God was that Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. It was because of who he was. Isn't that true of all of us? Our disobedience to God is based on who we are, not on who God is. Not because God is so unreasonable to expect us to do something. It's not because God is so unreasonable to expect us to go to the people we hate and tell them about the love of God. Jonah didn't go because he was a disobedient, rebellious prophet. He didn't go because he didn't want to, and he wanted to be disobedient, and he ran from God thinking that he could run from God, but then we see that the longer he ran from God, the more he ran into him, and that's usually the way it works. He was angry. God knows how God deals with Jonah's anger. Even in dealing with Jonah's anger, he comes to Jonah in a very gracious and merciful way. You know, if I'd have been God, I'd have slapped him around a little bit. You know, come on, Jonah, come to your senses. No, he just asked a very simple question of Jonah. Did you see the question he wrote in my translation of the Bible? He asked Jonah, is it right for you to be angry? Oh, come on, Jonah. Is it really right for you to be angry about what I've done to the Ninevites? Is it really right for you to be angry because I've given grace to the Ninevites, I've given mercy to them? Is it really right for you to be angry after what you did when I called you the first time? Does that give you a right to be angry at me? Is it really right for you to be angry after the jeopardy you put the ship and the crew in as you were on your way to Tarshish in the storm? Do you have a right to be angry? Do you have a right to be angry after I graciously appointed a fish to swallow you up in the depths of the sea to preserve your life, and now you're in Nineveh and people have repented and you're angry? Do you have really a right to be angry after what I've done in your life? You have a right to be angry when you prayed and I listened and you ended up on that beach and I gave you a second chance to go to Nineveh and you took it. Do you have any right to be angry after walking across Nineveh and preaching them that simple message? I blessed it, they believed it, and they repented, and you've seen hundreds of thousands of people come to repentance. Is that really something to be angry about? You really feel like you're justified in being angry because the king of Nineveh repented? Is that something to be angry about? Or is that something to rejoice about? Jonah, I thought you were my prophet. Whose prophet are you? Are you your prophet? Are you my prophet? Do you really have any right to be angry? If we were all in Jonah's shoes, and this morning, if we put ourselves in Jonah's place, every one of us would have to look back over our life and realize that even if everything fell in on us this morning and we lost everything we've ever had and everything is going terrible, and yet we look at everything God has done in the last 20 or 30 or 40 years in our lives, we would have to say, there's no way I can be angry about this because of all the blessings you've blessed me with until now. Doesn't it point sometimes to us in our sense of entitlement that we believe that walking with God means he has to bless us 100%, 100% of the time, and there should be never any problems. We should never have to face any discomfort in our life because after all, we belong to him. And sometimes we get to the point as believers that we think we're entitled to have a perfect life and God is supposed to work everything out for us. And sometimes that just doesn't happen. And when it doesn't happen, we're sort of like Jonah. We get angry about it because we believe or we sense that God has let us down. And yet when you look at our lives and the whole picture of it and see all the blessings that God has done for us, we understand there's really no right for us to be angry because God has blessed us far more than the problems we have to endure. Jonah didn't have that sense of proportion that day. He just said, man, God, just kill me. I hate this. Just kill me. So he goes out east of town, sits in a shelter. And notice, he sits in the shelter and he waits to see what God is going to do. I wonder what Jonah was thinking God might do. The people repented and God relented, but Jonah was still thinking, well, maybe there's an outside chance that God will just whack these people. And not only that, but I can get on the east side of town, get under this shade, and I can watch it all happen and enjoy it. And so God tries to teach Jonah a lesson. And as Jonah is sitting there, God causes a plant to grow up beside him to provide a shade. By the next morning, he sends a worm, and it comes to eat the plant, and the plant withers. Isn't that sort of a picture of life? You know, we get blessed with something from God, and we think, oh, this is wonderful, and we enjoy it. And then something happens, and it's taken away for some reason or something. And it's just sort of a metaphor for life. And then God appoints a scorching wind to come, and the sun beats down on Noah's head. I think Noah was probably bald. And then notice that every time Jonah, something goes wrong, what is his first reaction? Just kill me, God. Just put me out of my misery. And that's what he does. And then he asks another question of Jonah. Are you angry about the plant? And this time Jonah answers him and he says, you bet I am. Yes. And it's right for me to be angry. Angry enough to die. And this is where we get to the crux of what Jonah needed to learn. And I think it's something that we need to learn as well. The Lord tells Jonah, you cared about the plant, which you did not labor over and did not grow. It appeared in a night and it perished in a night. So, may I not care about the great city of Nineveh, which has more than 120,000 people who cannot distinguish between their right and they're left. You know what God was saying to Jonah? He said, Jonah, you cared more about the plant than you did about the people of Nineveh. He's telling Jonah, shouldn't I have cared about them? The Hebrew word there that we get the idea, the concept of caring, literally means bringing you to tears. And here's what God is saying to Jonah. Shouldn't the people of Nineveh mean so much to me that it brings me to tears when I think about them? They don't know their right from their left. They needed to hear the message. They needed to understand. They needed to repent. I sent you to do that because every time I thought about the people of Nineveh, they brought tears to my eyes. A compassionate God, a gracious God. They didn't know the difference between the right or the left. I had to do something. You know what we're hearing in all of that? We're hearing the very heart of God. The very heart of God. Did you know that the people that you have the biggest problem with, the people that you don't really want to spend much time around, the people that you wouldn't go across the street to talk to, some of those people are the people that God comes to tears over. But what do we do? I don't want to be around that guy. Man, I just don't want to be around him. The people that God comes to tears about and out of his compassion wants to see them experience who he is, we sit back a lot of times and we denigrate them and we talk about them and we mock them and we marginalize them. You know why we do that? It's because we do not share the heart of God. Jonah went to Nineveh because it was better than going back to the fish. But he didn't go there because he shared the heart of God. He didn't go there because he loved the Ninevites. He didn't go there because he had a burden for them and wanted to see their lives change. He was just trying to check off his list what he knew he had to check off because God called him to do it. And he knew that if he didn't, he'd have a price to pay, and he did. The big problem with Jonah all through this book, from chapter 1 to chapter 4, is that Jonah did not share the heart of God for people. And he wanted to dictate to God the people he could give grace and mercy to. And that wasn't his job. And it's not our job either. Our job is to be obedient when God calls us to go to someone and share with them the grace of Jesus and the gospel. Our job is not to sit back and talk about how impossible it is for this person or that person to ever come to God. Our job is just to say, Lord, where do you want us, and what do you want us to say? Do you share the heart of God? Do you share the heart of God for the neighbor next to you that plays the radio a little bit too loud or starts his car every morning at 5 o'clock? Do you have a burden for the families across the street that while you get in your car to go to church, they're playing in the yard like it's any other day? Do you have a burden for the homes that you pass that are littered with used up cars and spare tires and beer cans all around, taking away the value of our property? Those kind of people are the people that bring God to tears. And the question this morning for all of us, do they bring us to tears? Do we share the missionary heart of God? Jonah doesn't answer the question. We don't know what happens to Jonah at the end of chapter 4. We know that 150 years later, Nineveh is judged by God. Prophet of Nahum tells us about it. And Nineveh does in 150 years. This great revival ended and it went the other way. But we don't know what happened to Jonah. It's an open question. I think God meant it that way because he means for us to answer that question ourselves too. Do we share the very heart of God? Don't be an angry Christian yelling at people to get off your lawn. Have the heart of God that when you see someone and your first reaction is not to like them, you realize I need to come to tears for them because God would. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the message of Jonah. Father, it convicts us of where we are. And so, Father, if there's one here who can identify with Jonah today, I pray that they'll find the mercy and grace that you offer. And Father, that they'll open their life up and allow you to rework their heart so that the things that bring you to tears will bring us to tears. Father, if there's one here who needs to open their heart up to you and call on you for salvation, I pray in a moment as we sing that they would call on you. And Father, if they need to come and share that decision with me at the front or after the service, that they would be able to do that. But Father, we pray that you would work in every life this morning. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.